Hey, real quick, I just wanted to say that as we share stories of God's faithfulness, remember that as a listener, your generosity helps make this all possible. And when you give to Family Life, your partnership helps more homes experience hope and joy in Jesus. To join and make an impact, just go to familylifetoday.com or call 800-FL-TODAY. That's F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today.
Before I got out of the hospital, my cardiologist and my brother said, you can expect depression, you can expect tears. I mean, that you may need to get a counselor. And in the hospital, and my wife's a therapist. Yeah. So I'm not against this, but I'm thinking, I don't need that.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
Every single couple at some point in their marriage goes through adversity, right? Don't you think 100%?
100%.
Do you think 100% of couples will go through some sort of physical adversity in the relationship, in health-wise?
I would think so.
Health.
If they're together long enough.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking,
too. I would definitely think so.
Well, you're hearing the voices of Jim and Angela Davis, who have been married how long?
Coming up on 21 years.
Yeah, that's right.
But you guys have had no adversity in your lives?
It's amazing.
We wouldn't be very good guests if that was the case.
Yeah, you're obviously here because you have. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to talk about maybe the most recent adversity, but were there others before this? I mean, I don't even say the word out loud.
It's a health scare.
When Jim Davis texted out or I got an email or something, you had a heart attack, I laughed out loud. I go, no, not this guy. Right. This is like a joke.
Because, one, you're incredibly fit and you're young in our eyes, Jim. You're very young.
Yeah. And I was in better shape then than I am
really?
Now. Yeah. I mean, leading up to it, I was going to CrossFit 6 days a week.
What?
And on top of that, I had a goal of rowing 100,000 meters in the month of December. So, I mean, I was
in one
extremely
month?
Active.
Yeah. I try to get 5,000 meters a day. Yeah, a week.
I was going for the 100,000 meter
challenge.
Well,
there's people listening right now going, that's why you had a heart attack.
Yes.
That's exactly what some people are thinking.
This is what happens. Don't get too healthy.
Yes.
And how old were you when you had the heart attack?
44.
Yeah.
Walk us back. Let's hear the story.
So it was Sunday morning. I'm a pastor. I was preaching. And we have two services, and there were really no warning signs before this. So I started feeling a little bit of burning, like indigestion, and preached two services. And then we had a lunch with new people to the church. And that's when it just felt like it was burning in my chest.
And what did you think?
I thought I was having a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear about guys my age who think they're having a heart attack and it's really a panic attack. And you know, it was a season. It was busy in the church. You had just finished your grad school. Mm-hmm. I had written a book that was requiring a lot of me. And so I just thought I'd overdone it.
Had you ever had a panic attack?
No,
before?
I hadn't.
Okay. So I didn't. But you're thinking, oh,
this must be what it's like.
Yeah.
So it was burning. And then I said, guys, I got to go home. And I didn't think it'd burn anymore. And I'm in the parking lot and it feels like the sun is burning in my chest.
Wow.
And did you tell Angela any of this at that point?
Well, that's a funny story, part of the story.
Is it funny?
Well,
it's funny now.
Well, yes, looking back. So I'd already gone home with all the children. I wasn't going to this luncheon and I was exhausted. I think you had been out of town.
An elder retreat.
During that week, yes, for an elder retreat. So I was pretty spent. And when he came in from, you know, preaching two services and a luncheon and had been gone most of the week, and he said, hey, I don't feel good. I'm really tired. My first thought was, you have got to be kidding me.
Compared to what you've been doing.
Suck it up. Right now.
How many kids do you guys have?
We have four.
So he's been gone, out of town. He's just preaching. You're like, really?
Right.
This is my break now.
Exactly.
Says every wife.
This is my nap time, right?
Yeah.
So how long do we let sit like that? Maybe 30 minutes?
And I remember the moment I said, Angela, I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
And everything changed.
That got my attention.
I mean, it was, what can I do?
Because that's not typical of you?
Right.
No.
Not to say he's scared of something. To feel bad, yes, but not to say he's scared.
And I'm starting to think maybe this is more than a panic attack at this point. So we were going to go to an urgent care, and my brother, this is a lot of God's grace, my brother's an ER doctor in town, And I told him what I was doing. He said, no, no, you need to go to this hospital. I'll have the red carpet rolled out for you. And so we went, and as soon as I could, I walked right in. I was with doctors, hooked up to all kinds of things. And right after I kind of really got hooked up and they done some tests, the big one hit. My heart rate went to 30.
Okay, this is where Jim kind of forgets parts of the story. I mean, we sat in the ER probably for 2 hours while they just ran tests, took their time. I took a nap. He was feeling, and you even said at one point, I think I'm feeling better. And that's when everything just completely crashed. So it was like he just turned white. And
did he say anything?
Yeah, he was like, I've got to get my shoes off. Like, I've got to get my shoes off right now. It was kind of bizarre. It was like he was passing out. You know, when you get really pale and kind of flushed and you feel like you're going to pass out. That's what was
happening. No one else was in the room with you guys at that point?
I don't remember. Maybe one nurse. But then it was like everything, all the bells and alarms were going off and she was calling for, you know, a doctor to rush in.
What we learned in that moment, my heart rate went to 30, my blood pressure dropped in half. And the doctor said, if you were not surrounded by us, if this was the parking lot at the church, game over.
What?
Game over.
If we had gone to urgent care like we had planned, it would have been game over.
So then they know what's happening. My EKGs or whatever, they have all the information to know. My brother's there at this point making decisions for me. And it's a Sunday and the doctor, the cardiologist is on call. But in God's providence, he was there with his team, had just finished another heart attack. My brother would say he's one of the best, and this cardiologist happens to also be one of the best in the city. And so he's there. And that's important because I had 100% blockage in my widowmaker, 90 in the next. So how long, like the amount of time before you can get treatment is going to affect your heart and your brain. You could be a vegetable damage. So they got me right back. And this is when I'm coming to, and I, the first time I'm thinking this is bad, they're putting the paddles, the same thing as the paddles, but what do they call those? Defibrillators. On my chest, they stick. And I'm thinking, okay. And then so we go.
Okay, this is bad.
Yeah. And I'm
when I started realizing, oh, this is serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they took me back and I was on morphine and fentanyl, so I'm chatty and I'm awake, but I was chatty. I was talking with the nurse. I remember the nurse saying, you need to stop talking. You do not realize how serious this is. Do not talk. And I was like, okay. And so they start doing, you know, going up through my wrist into my heart. They see what's going on. The cardiologist says, I'll be right back. He went to my brother and said, this is so bad. I mean, he needs to be flown downtown. I don't know if he'd live the flight or if he did, he'd be a vegetable, but he needs open heart surgery, bypass. I can try a stent, but it's risky. And I can't tell you medically why it's risky. So they decided to do the risky stent. And the moment those stents went in, all burning went away instantaneously. What? I remember being very surprised by that.
Okay, yeah. So Angela, he's back there. You don't know what's going on.
No.
What's going on in your mind?
I mean, even as we're talking, like I feel my heart racing, you know, just the memory of it. But I think a lot of fear, not knowing how severe it was. I don't think I ever imagined that we could lose him. And I just was praying. Just praying like, God, please work a miracle. Let this be okay. Give us Jim back.
So, I mean, do you go home that night? What's the rest of the story?
3 days, I think, in the hospital. Yeah. And then it was a month on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
A month. Mm-hmm. And you really, you know, slowly I'm able to walk at a snail's pace down the street.
Oh, you couldn't even walk.
It was a very slow process.
Now, why? Because normal stents isn't that extensive of a recovery.
I don't know the answer. I don't want to make it sound worse than it was, but it was a week on the couch. And then I would take slow walks at like, you know, a normal grandparent speed. No, y'all are probably faster than the average grandparent.
Probably. I think we are.
But I think we just got ripped right there in front of us.
Well, wait.
I can't keep up with her. She walks fast.
I bet.
But was there damage to the heart?
So initially there's initial damage in terms of how much blood the heart can pump. It ended up fully restoring. I'm totally normal. Mm-hmm. The fact that I have full heart and brain capacity, the doctors would say is a miracle given what all could have happened. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, I didn't have full capacity in my heart and some damage was done. And so it was a little slow. And then...
Well, okay. What were you guys feeling with that month? Mm. I mean, here's Jim.
Yeah.
This constant like workout guy. Right. Total like invincible in a way.
I mean, it was just a process of... I'm so thankful. Immense gratitude that he is with us, especially as you find out how bad it could have been.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize it in the moment. So, so thankful. Our kids are connected to you, I think, in a deeper way than they were before.
Really?
But in reverse, it did put all the parenting family needs on me. And so we have four kids where I work and we are involved in the school and all kinds of sports. So it was a lot, but it kicked it into another gear. And that was fine for a time, you know, like you're happy to help. And then we'll talk more about what happened after that, I'm sure.
Hey, I just want to pause for a moment and remind you as a listener, you might need to hear this. You are not alone.
Nope.
You're not alone. And whatever you're going through today, you're not alone. I don't know if you know this, but Dave and I have a team at Family Life Today ready to pray for you. It's this incredible honor and privilege just to lift your name up to God. So if you need prayer, please, please reach out to us. You can head on over to familylife.com/prayforme. Again, that's familylife.com/prayforme. And tell us, how can we pray for you? And we're not kidding. Dave and I have a prayer team specifically dedicated to praying for our listeners, praying for you. I walk almost every day, and that's when I'm going to be praying for you. And Dave, you always fast on Fridays, and that's when you pray.
Yeah,
well, more than just Fridays.
Yeah, it isn't just Fridays, but all day Friday while I'm getting hunger pangs. I'm praying. It's like breathing. I'm praying all day. And often I pray for Family Life listeners like you. And like Ann said, you're not alone.
You matter to us.
Yeah. And God is with you. And we would love to lift you up by name. So again, go to familylife.com/prayforme. And we will pray for you. And our team will pray for you.
What were you feeling, Jim? Because you're here. You are a healthy, young guy.
Just shocked. I mean, you know, there's even a little bit of embarrassment involved. I don't know if you experienced any of this. Just not that I did. There was nothing I did wrong, but just you feel weak and you feel mortal,
vulnerable,
vulnerable. Yeah. And so there's a lot of that, and it's. Tears would come very easy after that. And this is, I'm understanding, common with a lot of heart attack victims. I couldn't explain why tears are coming, but I'd cry for no reason. I would.
Still?
You know, I wouldn't say still. I think I can tear up. I mean, that's my personality anyway. Yeah. But I usually, now if I tear up, I can tell you why. There's a reason. But for the next 6 months, I was very different. So I tear up easy. I got overwhelmed in crowds. I mean, the four of us have spoken that weekend remembers. That's not me. And I was overwhelmed, introverted.
And here you are, a pastor.
Yes.
A lead pastor.
I couldn't some days be in the lobby. I was just feel overwhelmed. And then some, if I'm being more vulnerable here, some weird things happened. I began, as I got back on my feet, to whenever I would, often when I spoke, I'd begin to have chest pains. And the doctors have concluded that it's my body
remembering
that's where it happened and it does not want to go back there. It's called geographic association. And so I had to, like, because, you know, I feel chest pains, then I get anxious, and anyway, it would just
spiral.
Have
to retrain your brain.
So I had, there was a process I had to reassociate my body with that thing where it knew the bad thing happened. Here's my weirdest thing. Angela probably doesn't even say this, but there are days you know when I would think, like, did I really die? Am I like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense? And I'm the only one that, I mean, like, weird stuff. And I know in my mind that's not true, but you think weird things when faced with the reality that, yes, I'm going to die. I don't know when it is. I always felt like it's a long way down, but maybe it's not.
How has it affected your marriage?
Well, I mean, that's kind of where I was going earlier.
Yeah.
I was happy to like kick it into that next gear for a month.
So you just compartmentalized it.
Compartmentalized
all your feelings, emotions are over here.
Yes, exactly. And then after, and I'd say it probably lasted longer than a month. I mean, it lasted some time, maybe 3-4 months. And then once he physically kind of regained his strength and his health and more of his stamina, it was hard for me to be empathetic. Because I'm thinking, okay, now you actually could do these things. Yeah. You could drive someone somewhere. You could cook a dinner. You know, it, and the empathy meter was just kind of going down.
He emptied the tank.
Yes. So, but what I had to realize is that although physically he had regained his strength, emotionally he was not the same. And so just like a lot of the things he said, he got exhausted really easily. He would be moved to tears really easily, wanted to just withdraw and numb from maybe even thinking about what had happened to him or even just this near-death experience, which is common in a traumatic situation. So, yeah, I think that's where our marriage started to kind of get a little rocky is that, you know, I felt like my empathy for him was going down. I feel a loss of connection. Because he's disconnecting from everyone.
And I was also isolated.
Yeah, that's the isolation.
I mean, you would say I had depressive symptoms.
Yeah, he was definitely depressed. And so
you're a therapist, so you were seeing the signs of it.
Definitely seeing the signs of it. And we talked about it and he admitted, yes, I definitely think that I probably am. Mm. And so you're trying to be supportive, but kind of growing a little bit bitter on the inside of like, you're not who you are, who you were. And I want to learn to love this new version of you. You guys have probably done that too. How many new versions of our spouse have we learned to love over decades? And this was a moment where I was learning, okay, Jim might not ever return back to who he was. How do I learn to love him for who he is now? And that was kind of the turning point, I feel like, for us reconnecting.
I've heard so many couples say that, whether it be through some health kind of scare or even depression, all of that anxiety. And you're wondering, will I ever have that other person back?
Yes.
Because you may not.
Yeah.
I think so many couples walk through that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So did you get through it? Are you in it now?
Should we do some therapy with you?
Yes, let's do it. No, I would say we have gotten through it. And even, you know, just on the way down here, we were talking about, okay, so how did we reconnect? How did we kind of come back together? I definitely think you can't speak for Family Life Weekend to Remembers without actually talking about what you're talking about on stage. Like, how is this going in our marriage? So,
And you've been speakers for the Weekend to Remember how many years?
2015. So 10 years.
Yeah, about 10 years.
Yeah. Have you done one since?
We have.
Yeah. We've done a few. It's definitely changed what we talk about.
Obviously. I'm just going to say to our listeners, go to a Weekend to Remember where Jim and Angela speak. I mean, I can't imagine. I want to hear like what, I want to hear that yet. But I mean, in your personal experience, how did you navigate the new marriage? I mean, it's the same marriage, but it's sort of new.
Yeah. I mean, she's learning me and I'm actually having to acknowledge that I am different. Like I didn't want to be different. That I felt weak. And
were you defensive at first saying, I'm not different?
It was hard to argue with the symptoms when, I mean, I would, you know, go and watch 2 hours of TV by myself. I've never been a TV watcher. Like, not like a binging. Yeah.
And that'd be weird, Angela.
Totally.
Like, wait, who are you? And we've got kids and remember our family?
Yes, exactly. So I was definitely feeling that.
I mean, what do doctors tell you is going on? Why would you do that?
I mean, I was told that this is normal. Actually, I remember before I got out of the hospital, my cardiologist and my brother said, you can expect depression. You can expect tears. I mean, that you may need to get a counselor. And in the hospital, and my wife's a therapist. Yeah. So I'm not against this, but I'm thinking, I don't need that. Yeah, I'd be thinking
the same thing. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
My doctor said the same thing. Did you know that?
Yeah, I was thinking, she's fine.
Well, I am curious.
You're fine, aren't you?
What did you
do? How much of this?
Are you good?
The men obviously had the same response. What were you feeling?
Well, I don't know. We've talked about this. Have we talked about this yet? For 2 days, I had gone up the stairs where we live, and I had felt a little bit of tightness. It wasn't pain. But I was like, ooh, never had that before. Interesting. I walked that night for a while and I prayed like, Lord, if something's going on, I pray that you would just really reveal that to me.
Wow.
And then I thought I came home and you guys, I've never done this. I'm not an alarmist or dramatic, which could sound crazy for some of the listeners who think I am, but generally speaking.
She is not. Not at all.
So I call a friend of mine who's a cardiologist. I said, hey, Matt, and he picks up at 10:30 at night. Hey, Matt, this is Ann. Hey, this is weird, but I'm having some stuff with my heart. I should probably get in the next couple of weeks, maybe month or two. And he goes, oh, okay, yeah. So what's going on? And I told him, he goes, okay, I want you to go to the ER right now. And I want you to call me or text me when you get there because I want to make sure you actually go.
Mm. Okay.
Because I can be like, I'm fine. I'm fine. And I'm like, seriously? He goes, yeah, just go ahead. Maybe nothing's going on, but let's just check it out. So I go.
By the way, I'm watching the NBA playoffs and I hear her outside talking. I think she's talking to one of our kids and she literally goes, she just walks by, goes upstairs, comes down with a bag. Stands on the top of the stairs. She goes, hey, we're going to the ER.
We need to go to the ER.
What are we talking about? We're going to the ER. Just got off the phone with a cardiologist. He needs to say. And so we go. And that's when they said you're 99% blocked.
Yeah, but everything was normal. EKG normal, blood work normal.
Isn't that crazy?
Echo normal. But because of my history, they said, we're just going to do a what's it called?
Catheterization.
The heart. It was what they did to you too, Jim. So they did that. And so the doctor says, oh, she's 99% blocked in this artery. But they couldn't do the stent there because it wasn't a hospital that would do that.
So it was 3 days later. So we sat in the hospital.
And this is so typical of us. So I'm in the hospital. I feel fine. I feel great, actually. And so the nurse says, hey, we need to get an ambulance and take you to the hospital to do the procedure.
Don't tell him that.
Dave goes, how much is that going to cost?
I'm like, I'll drive her. Like, no, you're not driving her. She might have been blocked for the last 10 years. We don't know.
He said what millions of Americans would have thought.
There you go. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
And the nurse scolds him. She's 99% blocked, which I was having a lot of heart pain and issues going on. I had to do nitroglycerin and then the EKG starts going bad. And so anyway, ended up...
Yeah, it was 3 days later because we had to wait and wait and wait. So we hit our out-of-pocket in one visit.
Oh, I bet.
But they cleared her and said, you'll be fine.
But my doctor did say, hey, just so you know, he told me this before I went, if anything happens, just know this, expect to feel vulnerable. And expect to feel some emotions that you're kind of shocked that this happened and you're not sure what to do with them. Mm-hmm. Did I even tell you that he said that?
No. I'm hearing it right now for the first time.
Oh, my goodness.
In public.
As I said, I don't really talk about my needs that much.
But let me ask you this, because one of the experiences I had, so Angela, you and I are the spouse of the patient. Was, you know, that was a Friday. And when the doctor came out, Jim Mitchell was actually sitting with me when the doc came out after surgery. And he's
our
like,
producer.
Went great, awesome. And I said, hey, you know, we're supposed to be in Colorado on Tuesday because her book just
Monday.
Came out.
Monday, we're going to be there Monday night.
Wow. Yeah, fly Monday night, be on Focus on Family on Tuesday morning for her book. And I said, listen, you know, if you say no, we don't go. We'll figure it out. But she's fine. I'm like, we can fly to Colorado. Yeah, no problem.
I asked him the same thing on the table.
So we go. And this is where I realize I'm the different guy now because we get there 9 o'clock or so, check in a hotel, and I don't know, 2 a.m, she wakes up and says, we got to go. Something's wrong.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm passing out. And I'm not kidding. 6 months before that, a year, I'd be like, you're fine. You know, I was like, woo.
Yeah.
He was at the door. Like, let's go.
And I feel that way now every second. Like, in fact, when we got there, it was mostly altitude, they think. There was nothing, all the
dehydrated. And I was on drugs I'd never been on.
Right.
I mean, we went back
to beta blocker.
But you jumped to the worst case scenario.
Yes.
I mean, that was something for the next 6 months. Anything that felt different in me, I'm thinking, am I having a heart attack?
I'm like, did this stent not work?
Right.
Is it blocked again?
That's exactly what I would think often.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, like, this could be it. Like, I might not wake up. And then I thought, well, if I don't wake up, I'll be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do wake up, well, I guess there's more for me to do. And I went right to sleep. Man, I really love Jim and Angela. I love their vulnerability and even walking through with us what this looked like and what they've learned.
This is really going to help couples.
I think so, too, because as we said at the beginning, every couple will face
this something. Isn't an if, it's a when.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to learn and do what Jim and Angela did and we're not done. We get to hear more of their story tomorrow. Hey, thanks for listening to Family Life today. And it is Christmas season, and there's nothing better.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.